Hey, welcome to the More Than Money Podcast. This is Chris Burns. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right, so you've worked for years and you are nearing retirement and you look at your 401k, you look at your IRA, and you go, I am nowhere close to where I want to be. Well, if you feel that way, you're not alone. And a lot of the people that come into our office not only feel that way, but they've chosen to become very aggressive because of it. In their minds, it's, if I only have a few years left, I've got to up my aggressiveness level dramatically to try to make up for lost time, okay? On this podcast, I'm going to tell you why that is a dangerous idea, and then I'm going to flip it and talk about what can you do if you look right now at your savings and you don't think you're going to be okay, you don't think you've saved enough. What can you do in your last few years of working that's actually impactful, that will actually help you transition to a smooth retirement? So what do you not do, and what can you do if you don't feel like you've saved enough? Nerd moment for the day, just to make you feel a little better, hopefully. What is the average net worth of Americans nearing retirement? So Americans aged 55 to 64, what would you guess the average net worth is for that age group? Think about it, make a guess. Right over $45,000. $45,000 is the average net worth. In fact, over half of Americans have zero savings, zero retirement savings, okay? So in that case, compared to a lot of folks, you've probably done some decent amount of savings, but I totally get that many of you feel like I'm just not prepared, and I understand that urge to go, say, I've got to just take a gamble and make up for lost time, but it can really be bad for your portfolio. So please, as you listen to this, if you have any questions about your situation, if you feel hopeless right now as you're looking and seeing retirement in your future, you don't know what to do, please jump on my website. You can ask anything. I will get back to you personally. It's mylifeismore.com. Again, mylifeismore.com, and enjoy the show. Just didn't take saving as seriously as I know I should have. First of all, there's a lot of should there. So many folks that come in walk in with a guilt complex, and maybe you feel that right now. You're in the car, you're sitting at home, you're getting ready for church, whatever you're doing, and there's something playing in your mind. There's this old broken recorder saying, you should have saved more. You should have started that 401k earlier. You should have started insurance long before you did. You should have an estate plan in place. All these things. You know what's funny? When you feel those that tension of shoulds and the guilt that comes with that, you know what humans do? It's well documented. We avoid. Like when we start feeling the shame and the guilt of shoulds, we just avoid things. And so let me just speak this to you right now, wherever you're at. If me talking about planning makes you go, I should have done this, I should have started that, and start feeling this guilt, shame mix, you know what that's going to lead to? It's going to lead to avoidance. You're going to just avoid it, and you're not going to do anything about it. So let's just drop out of the door for a second. Let's just pause on all that stuff and say, what if we start like today, tomorrow? What if you take one step in a healthy direction and change that dialogue in your mind to, I am taking action? Ignore what might have happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Ignore what maybe would have been nice to do in the past. Just drop that. You can't do anything about that. You know what you can do something about? Today, tomorrow, this year, next year, you can begin to live out the things you desire. So let's drop the shoulds. Because so many folks come in my office and it's, I should have started this. I know I should have. And that cripples them. They have a hard time moving forward because of that. But listen, today is new. Here we are. What do we do with where we're at today? So you look at yourself today and you go, you know what? I recognize I don't have enough money saved and I'm within 10 years of retirement. And by the way, those of you listening that aren't that close, you know, we have folks, young folks call in all the time. If you were younger, this still applies to you because it's the core principles are key across the board here. So please hear this. But especially if you're nearing retirement, I'm going to define that somewhat arbitrarily as 10 years out, okay? Within the next 10 years, in your perfect world, you would retire and you go, I am nowhere near where I need to be. Most people in that place go into panic mode and they start making decisions that could actually hurt them more than they could help them. And what do you think those are? What are the things that are in your mind if you're close to retirement? The number one thing I see is aggressiveness. All right, you know what? I didn't save enough when I was younger, so now I'm going to become incredibly aggressive because I've got to see as much growth as possible before I hit retirement. Now, you might hear that objectively and go, that's not a good idea. And you can list off the reasons. I'm about to tell you some of the reasons that's a dangerous idea. But that is the number one thing I hear. So that is normal. So again, let's get past the logic and the guilt and the shame and all that and just say, I will tell you, I know this because I've met with literally hundreds of people in this situation, and almost all of them think about it in terms of, I need to become more aggressive. I'm willing to take more risk because I've got to make up for lost time. Okay, let me just speak truth to you about the danger of this for a second. I had a client in my office recently who had this exact, again, same discussion. I want to be as aggressive as possible. I recognize the risk. I recognize that I could be deeply impacted if the market drop, but I've got to make up for last time. So let me just pause that and say, no, the risk outweighs the reward here every day of the week. If you are within 10 years of retirement, and you're going to transition into a situation for most of you, not all of you, most of you, where you're relying on the investments you have for a big chunk of income, then you cannot afford to be more risky than your plan can handle just for the hope that the market will go up. Now, let's talk about why that is for a second. It's understandable. It's very understandable that you would sit and go, all right, I got to take more risk. I got to get every ounce of growth I can. And yet, if the market drops significantly, which would not be abnormal, right? We're sitting on the ninth year of the second longest running bull market in history. I have a goal to say that in every single radio show. My producer used to make fun of me because I always said we're in the second longest bull market in history. But I just want to pound this into your mind. This is not normal historically. We're sitting on a high, long running market. If you are within 10 years of retirement, then friends, the chances of the market having a significant drop before you retire are very high. Now, this is not where I pull out my crystal ball and start prophesying the date and time of when this is going to happen, because I have no idea. And it might not happen. There is a chance the market will just continue running as is. But most likely, it's not going to run 5, 6, 7, 8 more years without significant volatility of some sort. And so if your hope is, I'm going to be super aggressive so that I can capture as much growth as possible to make up for 2 decades of not saving, that is probably not wisdom, right? Because we're sitting again at the top of the market. Now, I meet with a lot of people that are doing this, and they happen to, by the pure grace of God and a whole lot of luck, pick the right time to do it. I never would recommend it, but the last 9 years have been pretty remarkable. So if 9 years ago, if in 2009, you said, you know what? I'm just going to be super aggressive, then you've done pretty darn well, right? S&P over 300% growth. You've seen dramatic growth. That's great. That does not mean just continue on as is. You're just lucky. That's great. Okay. But you have to base the aggressiveness level of your account on where you were at in relation to retirement, regardless of what you've done in the past or not done, regardless of how much you have saved. A strategy of saying, I'm just going to be as aggressive as possible to hope that works out is playing the lottery. And most of the time, you play the lottery, you don't win. Okay? So some of you younger people hearing this are going, well, of course you shouldn't do that. Almost everyone I meet with who knows they don't have enough saved, the desperation starts to kick in, and emotionally we go to this answer of, well, I just have to be aggressive then. Let's just drop that for a second. That is not the answer. If that's not the answer, then what should we do? let's move into that. Before I do that, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money, and we're talking about something that so many folks deal with, that feeling of dread and anxiety, because I know I haven't saved enough, and I'm within a few years of retirement. What do I do? And the answer, one, is we do not become overly aggressive to try to compensate. That will not work. That will not work. If you have any questions about anything you've heard or you missed the first part of this show, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. I will get back to you personally. You can also listen to the first part of this show, plus all of our past shows and about a million other things that we have offered as resources on that website. Again, mylifeismore.com. So if the answer to I have not saved enough for retirement and I'm within a few years, if the answer is not just become wildly aggressive like a 20-year-old and hope for the best, then what do we do? What practical steps you can take? Well, grab a pen and paper, pull out your phone, open the notes up, whatever it is for you, let's talk in a really tangible, real way about what you can do. First of all, pick an aggressivist level for your investments that matches where you're at in relation to retirement. I talked about this last week. You've got to pick an aggressiveness level that's based on what your plan can handle, not just how you feel. So you might feel like, let's go for it. Let's just go super aggressive. I'm willing to take the gamble. Your plan could not handle that drop in the market that is probably coming in the next few years, because we're sitting again, last time I'll say it today, on the second longest bull market in history, okay? Your plan can't handle that if you're nearing retirement. So option B then, okay, pick an aggressiveness level you can handle. Somewhere in the moderate range, as you get close to retirement, you should be moving into moderate range aggressiveness, all right? If you don't know what that means, I don't have enough time to dig deep into that. But it's definitely not aggressive, right? And that's something we do with our clients, is we sit down and go into detail about what level of risk can you take and can you stick with to feel confident. So first, we make sure our investments are in the right healthy place for where we're at in relation to retirement. Second, sit down with an expert on retirement income planning. Now, I know this sounds like a cheap plug, because we do income planning. My firm does that. So it's like, so you just come work with us. Well, sure, I would love to sit down with you and do this. But if it's not us, find someone who specializes in income planning, because here's something they never teach you in college or that your parents don't usually talk about. There is a dramatic difference between the way you invest and where you put your money for growth versus the way you invest and place your money when it comes to distribution, to taking income from it. It is dramatically different, and yet we don't talk about it very often. I chart out for my clients on the board. I show them, when you're younger, this is the way we invest, and it's kind of like a mountain scenario. We're trying to grow your wealth. That is the primary objective. But as you move close to retirement, there's a whole different type. It's a whole different world of investing and the types of things we look at and the way we do it, because we're focused now on distribution. Let me just say this. Typical traditional investments and investment vehicles like 401ks are built for growth. When you turn them around and try to take income from them, they become very inefficient. Just like any other tool. I talk about tools a lot, right? You're like, yes, you've talked about this before. If you listen to this show, that financial products are tools, right? And every tool you look at has a specific purpose and a place where it's very useful, and then other places where it's not. All right, a screwdriver is great for screwing things in, but if you need to hammer something and you try to use the edge of a screwdriver to do it, you're going to be frustrated all the time. That is the exact same in the financial world, but we don't talk about it very much. Okay, you need to meet someone who understands this, because when you're trying to grow your money, things like a 401k are fantastic. When you're trying to take income, those become clumsy and very inefficient often, because when you have to regularly sell something to pull income from it, if the market's dropping, for instance, it's a miserable time to sell stuff from your 401k if it's losing value. So how do you structure your money in the most effective way possible so that you're getting the most return, not just growth return, but actually return for income? I can take the highest distribution from these for income. Okay, so you've got to meet with somebody who understands that and who can help you change that grid, because almost everyone that walks into retirement has in their minds this grid still of all my money is in growth mode, because that's the way we've always thought about it. I had a client recently, this stuck out to me. I was talking about, well, what do we do to start creating an income plan? And he could not get off his mind, well, we just keep growing money in the 401k. And I said, the 401k is a piece of this. But that product, the 401k, was never built to give you steady income. It was built to grow. It was built to give you amazing growth. Why would we expect that the same product built for growth is the best possible scenario for income? Okay, and there's lots of ways to do income. I mean, I'm not hedging here and saying, so therefore use an annuity. Man, look at our show last week. I talked about annuities in depth because a lot of advisors go straight to annuities when we talk about income. Annuities are a way to do income, but you can also use dividend stock plans. You can also use rental income. There's lots of ways to think about how you're going to draw income, but I tell you what, it's different than when you're growing your money. So again, step one, make sure you're taking a risk level in what you are investing that fits where you at and where you're at in relation to retirement. That is crucial. Step two, make sure you're meeting with, now is the time to sit down with someone who is an expert in income planning and can differentiate between the growth stuff that you've done before and now expanding into various investments that will give you income in the most effective ways. We want to maximize every dollar you have for income possible if you feel like you don't have enough saved. And that includes, by the way, Social Security strategies. Any good financial planning firm should dig deep with you into when to take Social Security, how to leverage that, again, for every possible dollar, because we don't have the time to save now. We can't go back and change what was done in the past. So every dollar of income we want to maximize to make sure you can be as healthy as possible. So first, again, the right risk level. Second, making sure you're talking with someone who understands income because it's a whole different world. And finally, this is going to be the hard one because the other two are fairly easy to own, but this one's harder. Finally, to be willing to change expectations. Now, I don't mean that that means if you're 58 years old and you don't have enough saved that you cannot retire at 65. But what I do mean is that your expectations have to line up with reality on some level. And this is not popular to say. It would be far more popular if I cut off this discussion after number two, right? But if right now you know that you have not spent enough time saving, even if you go to the best income planner in the world who can maximize every dollar, right? That cannot solve the issue. And so you have to be open when you walk in to work with someone like me or another person that specializes in talking about these things. You've got to be open to adjusting your expectations or else your quality of life will be miserable. Like, what if you need to work two extra years? That's a hard thing to tell somebody. I will never forget meeting with clients. And this doesn't happen very often. I've said this before. A lot of the folks I meet with, man, we often they're in a far better situation than they think they are. And we can show them different ways they can maximize what they have to where they don't have to work longer. They don't have to change things. But I tell you what, having that humility when you walk in the door that you're open to anything and that you're willing to hear where you're actually at, that is the critical step to making sure you're going to be okay. So it might be that you're in a situation where you have to work a few more years than you want to. And I don't like that. Man, I try to avoid that with every client we work with. But that willingness to walk in and say, tell me where I'm actually at. Don't lie to me. Don't just make me feel better. Don't just tell me that it's going to be okay when it's really not. I am open to reality. Tell me what reality is, and then I can base my expectations on that. That is the critical core component. And I got to share this with you. There was a lady who came in, a single woman recently. Her husband actually passed away a few years ago. And I was so impressed because we sat down and we started digging into her situation. And one of the first things she said to me in the first meeting, this was, no one's ever said this before like this, was, look, I don't have a lot of money. I feel a lot of anxiety, but I want you to know I'm totally open to the truth. Please tell me where I'm actually at. Because for years, I've been living with question marks. For years, I've been wondering if I'm going to be okay. I'm ready for the truth. And then we can make a plan based out of that. And she actually said that to me. I was blown away. And you know what the cool thing was? In her case, she was open to that. But when we dug into her situation, it was far better than she thought. Isn't anxiety funny? Anxiety tends to tell you all the time, you are in a terrible place. But if you open yourself up enough to say, I'm willing to handle the truth, I'm willing to change my expectations, so often, so many times, it's not as bad as you think. And in fact, with her, I was able to say, you are in a far better place than you think. You have the resources you need. But her willingness to hear the truth was so critical. So again, to recap, first of all, don't just suddenly become majorly aggressive because you think, I haven't saved enough, I've got to do something dramatic. You've got to pick a risk level that fits where you're at so that the next drop in the market, which will come, doesn't ruin your financial picture, okay? That's first. Second, you need to work with an expert on this. You need to work with someone who understands how income works in retirement because it's a totally different game than when you're trying to grow money when you're younger. That is something we do. That is something, though, a lot of great planners do. Make sure you work with a great planner who can help you figure out income and leverage every dollar possible for retirement so that you're in a healthy place. But most importantly is the mindset of when you walk in. And this sounds so nebulous for a lot of people. This is the key. That you're willing to say, I want to hear the truth about where I'm at, and I'm willing to adjust my expectations accordingly. So if you tell me that I'm not okay, let's talk about an action plan. Do I need to work longer? Do I need to save more? Whatever that is. And here's the great thing. For a lot of folks, it's actually the opposite. For a lot of folks, if you come in with that open mind, it's actually, you know what? You're in a better place than you think. That was the case for this widow that I talked to. It was remarkable to see the peace she felt, the joy she felt. Once we went in detail, she was open to hearing the truth, and the truth was, you're going to be okay. So if you know you're at this place, if you know you're somewhere right now, you don't think you have enough saved, but mentally you're ready to be honest about that. Say, okay, well, where am I actually at? How can we create a plan to a healthier place? Man, please take a moment, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. I love sitting down with people who say, this is where I'm honestly at. How can we change the future? How can we make practical, tangible, real steps? Because what an amazing thing it is to see someone go from anxiety and fear and avoidance to true growth and real success towards the dreams they have and for retirement in this case. So please, if you want that, I would love to sit down with you and do that. Again, it's mylifeismore.com for that free consultation with me, Chris Burns. And while you're there, you can also ask any questions you have about what you've heard today. We can't answer every question on the show, but I respond to everyone who writes in personally. So again, if the whole point of this is to take what we're talking about and filter it into your specific situation, this is a great tool for that. Again, mylifeismore.com.